This is the midday for a Thursday. I'm Norman Gilliland. There is music in the air, live music in the air, this coming weekend, among other things, in Madison. Madison Symphony with three concerts called Radiance. And they will take place at Overture Hall Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon. And featuring three works, one called Rainbow Body by the American composer Christopher Theophanidis, the monumental Pictures in an Exhibition of Mussorgsky and Ravel, and then the centerpiece is a cello concerto, indeed, one of just two cello concertos by Haydn. And the soloist for that occasion will be one of my two guests, that's Alban Gerhardt. Welcome back to the midday. It's
good to be here, Norm.
A very long time, and then conductor for the occasion, also with us, Robert Moody.
Welcome. Hi.
Welcome. Good to
Thanks
see you.
Thanks much.
And it's interesting reading your bio, Alban, as you disclaim any pretense to being a child prodigy as a cellist. You seem to have resisted studying music early on.
Oh, no, I just didn't have a single concert, so then you're not a child prodigy. A child prodigy is somebody who plays concerts at the age of, I don't know, 12, 13, 14, or even before. And my first public concert was with 17, and that was unpaid.
Was it this cello concerto, though?
Yeah.
So it has some resonance for you.
It has some nostalgia with it.
And what can you tell us about the concerto and your relationship with it?
Well, yeah, it's the longest in my fingers and repertoire, but I don't stop changing it because I'm never happy how I play it. It's somehow one of those pieces where I know quite exactly what I want and I'm not good enough to play what I want. So I'm constantly fighting with myself, and it's, I mean, for those who are not musicians, they should know this is the piece every single cellist has to learn to get into any orchestra. So it's the, which is ridiculous piece because it asks some things from the cellist which he never has to use in an orchestra.
Truly.
it's just to find the people who studied the most, but it doesn't really filter out necessarily the best musician nor the best orchestra musician. It's a tricky piece. It's very open, but it's beautiful. It's very songful and very lyrical, very virtuosic, especially in our version, which is slightly faster than most versions, which is my fault because I'm an ADHD person and I get bored when it gets too slow and boring.
Well, have you recorded this cello concerto by Haydn?
No.
Is there a particular reason for that?
No, but nobody asked me, and I'm not
there, that would
fighting
be one reason
to do that. I mean, one of the reasons I'm struggling with that piece is that as a child, I played it super romantic, and then I got more informed about Baroque and performance praxis, played it for 15 years horribly because I had no idea what I was doing, and now I'm trying to get the sound and the soul without playing it overly romantic, and that's the struggle. And I maybe in 10 years I achieve it, and then I might record it. But until I have solved the thing, then I won't do it.
It's a never-ending pursuit, isn't it, to get into the time frame of when a work was written? I mean, if it's Baroque, for example, got strings and you know, endless kind of accommodating that sound.
Yeah, well, and I don't believe we have to play exactly how they played.
It'd be impossible anyway.
But the aesthetics, I mean, we have to understand the aesthetics. I don't have to play on gut strings to understand the aesthetics. But, for example, the use of vibrato was quite different to back then than today, or 100 years ago. So that's
they seem to love vibrato 100 years ago.
Sorry?
They seem to love vibrato 100 years ago. I mean, the styles, you know, some things recorded 100 years ago are overly romanticized by today's standards, don't you think?
Oh, today still. I mean, I
are
heard
they still?
A wonderful colleague of mine play the Haydn concerto the other day more romantic than I would ever play at Dvořák, so no.
Well, let's not worry about the time period then, and here one of your recordings, this takes us back to the 1990s, actually, and it is far removed from Haydn, which is to say it's Manuel de Falla, and what can you tell us about the ritual fire dance?
No, we said the Vida Breve.
Oh, Vida Breve. Yeah. Okay. What can you tell us about that then?
Nothing. It's beautiful. I loved it. It's a violin piece, and I transcribed it for cello. I think it's the Kreider version or something, but it's just beautiful. But I don't know shit about music.
Some Spanish flair there from my guest, Alban Gerhardt, who is the cellist, well, a world-traveling cellist, but he is performing with the Madison Symphony this weekend, Friday night and Saturday night at 7:30 at the Overture Center for the Arts in Madison, then 2:30 Sunday afternoon in a concert that features guest conductor Robert Moody and three works, and they include the landmark pictures at an exhibition by, I want to say Ravel, but in fact it is Mussorgsky in what was considered to be kind of a strange piano original version. How do you accommodate that in your thinking as a conductor?
It's a good question, and I've conducted in of the pictures at an exhibition. I've only done the Ravel arrangement. You know, there are a couple of others. Rimsky-Korsakov has one. There are a couple of others, but there's a nice element to the score I use in that the original piano part actually exists at the bottom of every page.
Oh, truly.
So it's a nice comparative to sort of see. My instrument is the cello. Sitting beside Alban Gerhardt, I'm a little scared to say that out loud. So I'm not a pianist. But looking at the score, I do think it was a piece of Mussorgsky's that works better as a full orchestral work. And certainly the immense amount of options for color and timbre are, you know, suddenly become technicolor when it's orchestra. And the fact that this was done to remember a dear friend who was a painter,
Victor
and a
Hartman,
bit of an
yeah.
architect, to be able to bring out those colors to sort of tell the story, I think, of honoring his friend makes all the sense in the world. So I don't know if I would denigrate the piano work as alone. I think it's great, but I think this takes it to an entirely new level.
But do you keep in mind what the piano could do, or you use the full?
And that's the nice thing about seeing the piano part in real time, and it definitely informs some decisions that I make. Everything from sort of shape of phrasing to, you know, knowing what a piano could or couldn't do here, and should we therefore go against that or go with what a piano might have done, if that makes sense. This is my first time here, and the hall is incredible. And I knew before coming that there's a phenomenal organ in the hall. And so it is the Ravel orchestration plus one Moody addition.
Really?
Adding the organ to supplement in a place or two. And it really was quite magical when we first put that together last night.
Should I guess if the great gate is...
Yeah, you would be guessing correctly. That's the key.
That does seem to invite it. Yeah.
Portion. Yeah.
Everything but Caroline kicking in for that.
Right. Right.
And if I were to pick two people to orchestrate, the original piano pictures and exhibition, it would be Ravel and Rimsky-Korsakov.
Those are the two.
Yeah,
that's right.
Right. I mean, Respighi might be a third in there somewhere.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, what great stuff, though. So much going on, and written for a 20th century orchestra with a lot of modern touches in the every good sense of the word.
Yes, even and including one of the best movements is a beautiful saxophone solo.
Yes, I was going to mention the saxophone.
Might not expect one to say about that piece, but it's one of the really sublime moments, actually.
Rich in detail. And on a much smaller scale, also rich in detail, we have Papillon, Butterflies, and this is one of the slightly more recent recordings, probably from about 2010 or so, in which Alban Gerhardt partnered with Cécile Licade, the pianist, to perform the work of Gabriel Fauré, and Any thoughts about Papillon?
It's a little showpiece, like the other one. So since we only have a few minutes each, I think it's better than starting a movement of the sonata.
Sure.
And then blend,
get,
go out.
Get all the whole
it's
thing.
A, yeah. It's a cute piece.
Here we go. Papillon, living up to its kind of flighty name, the work of Gabriel Fauré, a showpiece featuring two virtuosi, one of them in my studio today, and that's Alban Gerhardt, and then also Cecile Codd was the pianist who long ago, more than 20 years ago, was also right there where you are, sitting there, Alban. And with us also Robert Moody, who is going to be conducting the Madison Symphony this weekend in three concerts of a program that includes the work of Christopher Theophanidis. What do you think about Rainbow Body?
Yeah, there's a lot to say about it. First, just to clarify, he pronounces his name Theophanidis.
And
when I first met him, I thought, well, he must be a Greek composer. He's actually from Texas.
He's from Dallas, same age
as me and born in Texas. And he was commissioned to write this work with the Houston Symphony back in 2000. And he did some of the most clever things that are really kind of jaw-dropping for the audience. First of all, he uses as the principal theme of the entire work a chant of Hildegard von Bingen.
Oh, sure.
Of course, one of 1,000 years ago, a woman who was, you know, a nun, but that was the very beginning.
My granddaughter was named after her, one of the most forward-thinking
you know, women of the Middle Ages, and wrote some gloriously beautiful chants.
Otherworldly. Yeah.
So this is the chant that he uses, is Ave Maria, O Auctrix Vitae, Hail Mary, Water of Life, Fountain of Life. And he sets this where it starts in sort of an angular way, and there's this unbelievable and virtuosic solo from the principal cello, and then finally you hear the Hildegard, and he sets it where some of the strings are playing the melody and others are just sustaining pitches, you know, typically at a fifth, and it therefore sounds like you're in a monastery. It sounds like you're in some cavernous space. That goes back and forth between some really aggressive, fast, exciting moments. And at the very end, he brings this back almost like a Mahler finale, brings back the theme. And when it was performed at the Proms for the first time, apparently the orchestra, BBC Orchestra at the Proms, has a tradition, if they like a new work, while playing the work, they will sort of shout, hurrah, etc.
Really?
And he decided to put it into the score. So for anyone coming to the concerts, you now know that there are moments where you are welcome to cheer because you're going to hear the strings and the percussion cheering while we are playing these big finale chords.
That's good to know.
Yeah, it's a good. Otherwise, you might think that the orchestra has suddenly lost their mind. But
as British orchestras sometimes
really,
do.
It's one of my favorite works, and certainly I think one of the best opening works that one can program these days on a concert.
To look forward to, and that's heading the concert, and then the finale, the aforementioned pictures in an exhibition, Mussorgsky and Ravel, and the centerpiece, the Haydn Cello Concerto No. 2. Just two concertos that he wrote, cello concertos, right?
Yep. Did he write more than C and D?
I thought there was another one which
sometimes
not very good or even less good.
Sometimes there are attributions that are later determined to be by somebody else.
Yeah. When I was 15, I did not grow up in a musical family. I got a cello in my hand in the fourth grade in public school, and that's how this all began for me. And I went to music festival at age 15, and a girl that was my stand partner was playing this piece that I thought was beautiful. I learned it by rote, and when I went back to my teacher, I said to my teacher what I thought I heard. I said, I want to learn this piece called Hide and Seek.
Oh, that's cute.
And he said, oh, you mean Hide and Seek. So I still in my mind call it Hide and Seek. But of course, we're doing D on this one. We're doing the D major.
That's right. Well, glad to hear that. No hiding necessary.
Right.
And let's wrap it up with just a little bit of this Dohnányi, Alban. What are we going to be hearing in the first whatever, 3 or 4 minutes of it.
The beginning of the concert concert piece by Ernő von Dohnányi, who was a Hungarian composer. I think he was the grandfather of the conductor.
I believe so, yeah.
And
settled in Tallahassee, Florida.
Ah, and the father of one of the conspirators against Hitler. His son was killed after...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Some real history there.
Mm. Wow.
And what should we be hearing then? I mean, anything in particular to listen for?
It's just very super romantic.
He was a master at that, yeah. From the works of Dohnányi. You got most of the first movement of that work by Ernst von Dohnányi, and that was his Concertstück in D, featuring one of my two guests, Alban Gerhardt, cellist, and the other being the conductor, Robert Moody, both of them involved in these three upcoming concerts this weekend with the Madison Symphony to look forward to at the Overture Center. And the pleasure seeing you again, Alban. It's been 15 years or so. You may not even remember. And good to meet you, Robert Moody.
You as well.